Alright.
Okay, so I figured this has a nail. This is our last class together this year. My grandmother was very much, never say the last. But this is our last class together this year for Tinochabonim. And so I want to keep it a little bit short to be able to respond to some of the questions that the Agrichim and their wives had asked. And of course, we'll continue with the way we've been learning up until now. That's through the words of Revoldi. So Revoldi has in the book Zriya Ubinya Bechinuch Sicha Shnia, a second Sicha. As I was, I didn't have my Zriya Ubinya Bechinuch here, so I went to the store quickly to buy right before night Seder. I ran to the store, and I was just struck as I had a Torah Shraga Talmud with me. And I said to him, you see this thin book? It's tiny. It's not much tiny, the Hebrew edition. There's so much in these 15 pages. There's so much here. So not only that, in the 15 pages, the last half is really a little bit of a repeat of the first half. So it's only about 10 pages. But there's so much in those few pages. So we touched on page Lamed Beis, where he talks about the fact that Ben Adam Kisif Kidenu, that Ben Adam person is a Pikado. That's what the Pasuk in Tehillim tells us. So we touched on and want to repeat this because it's probably not many more things that are more important than this. And that is that at the end of the day, our children are a Pikado, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us to guard, to cherish, and to raise them to be the best that they could become. And the second paragraph he points out, that he thinks the words, Yeshli Yiladim, I have children, is not, uses the Yardea term. I walked in before the Bechina, the guys were hocking the Yardea. He says, it's no same Tam Lefkam. That it's not Yeshli Yiladim. It's not that it's Mamish makes it Aser, but it's no same Tam Lefkam. Why? Because at the end of the day, our children are not our own. Our children are Pikdonos that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us. And he repeats them as Yisod of Tzmicha and Binyan Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch. And then he says something that addresses one of your questions. If you take a look at page Lamed Gimel, he says, Karamban Omer Zos. This is going to be a springboard to something that was asked. Karamban Omer Zos Mitok Yurashel Shlea Parshel Shel Kriyishma. Ramban finds the terms of Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch in the two parshas of Kriyishma. The parsha Rishon Iksiv Shinantam Levanecha V'Dibar Tabam. It says that you will teach your children and you will speak in it. So he's Medayik. Who's speaking? V'Shinantam Levanecha. Who's speaking there? The father or the Rebbe. That's the first parsha of Kriyishma. Alo parsha Shniya Kasuv V'Limaditem Oysam Espenechem L'daber Bon. You will teach your children to speak in it. Ata tilamed et habanim, at shehem yu elu sheyedabru. Our goal is not for our children to parrot us. Our goal is to be able to nurture our children to the point that they will be able to say their own Torah. Not our Torah, their own Torah. Of course, as we spoke about in the Beis Medrash, the first condition is that the child has to listen to his father's Torah first. But that is a great example of Zriya. Atat lamed es abonim ad shehem yu elu sheyedabru. B'shlav harishon amna medaber av, aval zu eina matara, el rak shlav beinayim. B'shlav hashem, b'parsha hashnir shel Kriyishma, limaitam osam et v'nech l'daber bom, abonim yilamdu l'daber atzman v'zu hi hatachlis. Now, I had a few questions that Talmidim had asked me that immediately relate to this part. I'm going to jump around a little bit during Revoldi in dealing with one of the questions that was asked. How and when to explain Shabbos and other things to very young kids in a way that they'll understand? For example, if a child says, why can't I play with my toy piano on Shabbos? So the question being is, how are we going to create that sensitivity that Shabbos is Shabbos? A similar question was asked me about Ped that was asked to be discussed, and that is, what is the appropriate age, and how do we appropriately introduce mitzvos and Talmud Torah? So one question was asked in terms of mitzvos aseh. I feel so cool, the first time in my life I've ever done this reading off. I always see other people doing it. So anyhow, I don't know if I'd be able to do that, but see how we manage to hold the laptop at the wrist, but it takes some practice. But the other question, this question was regards to mitzvahs lo saseh. But regards to mitzvahs saseh, so what is the right and appropriate way to introduce little children? Baruch Hashem, I'm talking to parents of kids who are quite small. What's the appropriate way to introduce? I don't claim to have the answer, but let's try to talk about it a little bit together. If you turn to the next page, Chinuch HaMitzvos, so this again follows, just to follow our train of thought. The goal, the starting point is Vishinantam, Vishinantam Levanecha. The goal is Limadem Mosen Asbenechem Ladaber Bom. And that goal becomes an overarching goal in terms of all mitzvahs. Applies to mitzvah saseh, applies to mitzvah slo saseh. There has to be some level of active chinuch on some level, but with the goal that they're going to come to it on their own. And by the way, that's not only in regards to Talmud Torah, mitzvah saseh, and mitzvah slo saseh. It applies as much and probably more deeply to midos, and I don't want to use the word values because that's been adopted by everybody, and arachim, that of Klal Yisrael. Even by the way, even how you use the word that was already used by others, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Once because there's already an association and so on. I'll give you a general example. I find with my children, the things that I was more successful in myself, working on it myself, I was able to pass on to my children. Things that I was less successful in terms of midos, I see that they struggle with as well. Every once in a while you have a child that will excel in certain midos and the parents are average in that midos. That happens too. But it's amazing how much our children pick up from, even in our own midos. The classic example that Rav Volbi gives is Tchilas Hadibur on page Lamed Zayin. I want to start with that, and then we'll get to the final point. It actually flows. Tchilas Hadibur, Kishatinu Kmen Tchila Daber Av Melab Do Torah. No. It's not what I was referring to. Let's see. No. Yeah, on the bottom of page Lamed Hey, there Rav Volbi alludes to the idea of Gilhai and Kut. Rav Volbi there relates to the idea that how much we say and what we say and certain words that we use, children pick up on. You know, the classic example that the Rabbanim give is instant. What do you talk about around the Shabbos table about the rabbi's drasha? I wonder why rabbis do that example. But you know, what is the subtle thing? Are we there to, you know, we're there, we employ the rabbanim, we're there to judge the rabbanim, etc., or is there something else that's being given over? And the scary thing is the words of machlokas are words that almost, if children hear it, it's almost impossible to turn the clock back. When children hear things like that, that those are things that permeate inside of them, and those are dvarim she'iyaf shalahashim. Sometimes those are things that are very, very hard to go back on. That's what he speaks about in Gilui Yamkut. In regards to chinuch lemitzvos, so he says as follows: chinuch lemitzvos matfil gamu begil mukdam. Mitzvah tzricha liyot chavaya b'shvil ha'yiladim. Mitzvos have to be a pleasant experience for children. And notice how he says, Shabbat, for Shabbos, Shira Dvarim Tovim Shalmadim Et HaMitzvos. What we want to emphasize are things that are positive. Don't talk about muktzah with little kids. which Hilchos Shabbos here did you hear that says that kids are not allowed to talk about, not allowed to touch Mufasa? 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old? No. When the child is ready to understand what Mukta is, then we're mechanic a child. I don't know 5-year-old kids that understand what Mukta is about. We're getting ready for after Pesach when we learn Mukta. I still don't understand exactly what Mukta is about. So a 5-year-old is not going to understand. Yes, an 8-9-year-old eventually is going to understand. But Shabbos needs to be an experience that's a real chavayah. And therefore, there's no halachic basis to introducing a child. By the way, in general, if you have a suffix of whether to discuss whether if the child is ready or not, go lechumra, not to introduce it. Might be kedai, but to discuss it with somebody. But let's say you don't have someone to discuss it with, it with. Next paragraph. Lotzu ha'sarach lachriyakas yaladim b'shavus liyad ha'sholcham yireishita sudar acharita. Ze inui b'shvilam. To force a child to sit by the table the whole time is difficult, it's painful. Now, in my generation, which Rivoldi was writing to, there were parents that expected their kids to sit at the table. And there were kids that were able to do it. Rivoldi was ahead of his time, and Rivoldi said, wait a second, it's just not... A lot of kids that are being asked to sit at the table Shabbos, it's just too much for them. They're not ready for that. Now, we get back to the basic yisod that Rivoldi keeps on driving home. And that is, why do we want our kids to sit at the table? And what happens when we're eating ourselves, and what happens when they're guests? A lot of times, the reason why we want them there at the table is because it's a little bit of pashnish, that my child should be running around and should not be saying the Dvar Torah, v'chulei v'chulei. At the end of the day, chanoch l'nar al pi darko is something that requires us to have the strength to be able to say, like all mitzvahs, is to be able to say that this mitzvah is important to me and I'm not going to be intimidated by social norms and standards. And to have what's called Yiddish plaitzes, is to have strength to be able to make that statement. And therefore, Shabbos table for 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds and even 10-year-olds. There are a couple of nuggets that you want to do, maybe at the beginning of the meal. They're there for Kiddush. Boom. Focus on the kids. We mentioned the beautiful thing about Ramosha Feinstein, that Ramosha said that he always had his kids sitting next to him. That Ramosha always gave, and by the way, I gleaned there after learning a little bit as a young father, I believe that they're always makhi to do that. Even if I have guests and talmidim and so on that came to spend Shabbos together with us, there's nothing wrong for the guests to take second fiddle, kaviyachol, to the kids. If the kids are there and they deserve your attention, and what the guests are going to be interested in is going to be something different than what your children are interested in. Therefore, the Eitzah would be, you start off the meal, give the kids the things that you think and they think that you discuss with them that they need, and then let them from the beginning feel comfortable to go and to come. Next paragraph. If shar l'shatef efe yaladim ba'achana l'shabbos v'y ka'ol v'lo kedei l'akil el ha'orim, when we ask our children to help us on Shabbos, for Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos, that's not because we want their help, but rather to make Shabbos interesting. So that you create that environment where they feel that they're really helping, that they're really a part of the Shabbos meal. So let's come back to the question. How do we explain Shabbos and other things to very young kids? At the end of the day, we don't have to explain anything. The reason why it's called halacha, not hasbara. Halacha is the way we walk, the way we go through life. And eventually, in tandem with the school, we'll come to another question about the school also, in tandem with the school, when the children are starting to learn in school, so then in such a case, we work, when the children are ready learning those hasagot, that's when we introduce. There's no need to, particularly in regards to Shabbos. Shabbos should be, you know, a fastball down the middle. In other words, it should be, it's an easy home run. Because Shabbos, we just live Shabbos. The harder part is davening when your kids never see you davening because you're going to davening at 6:15 in the morning. That's harder. But Shabbos, they should be able to see you do Shabbos. I've said that, and I've mentioned it a lot about my father. It's been a while since I've seen him. I've seen him. I guess I miss him. So the most important message I got both about Shabbos and Talmud Torah is that whatever time I woke up in Shabbos morning, my father was sitting and learning Be'im. That was more. That said to me more about what Shabbos is supposed to be and the way a person's supposed to use their extra time. My father didn't have a lot of extra time during the week. But that said to me more than anything else. So halacha means the way we go. This is the way we go. These are the things we do. We don't need to explain that this is aser. Now, I have a luxury right now because I'm talking to young parents. When your children are 10 years old, I agree, it's going to be a different shaila. But it's important that the zriya, the zriya about this part is what we do to make Shabbos something that's warm and special. Unfortunately, the modern Orthodox world woke up a little bit late, but there's no question that song is such an integral part in Avodas Hashem. And I feel bad for kids who grew up in the modern Orthodox system in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, where that wasn't emphasized. Song is the language of angels. And song is something that speaks to every person, no matter what their age. And so therefore, yes, Shabbos, even in the Parsha, a gishmak of art that guys in the kol are going to enjoy is not what your Shabbos table should be with young children. And if there's someone who finds it not intellectually compelling, then they don't belong at your Shabbos table. That's okay. There'll be a time when your kids will be saying the Divrei Torah that they'll enjoy it. Right now, it's not the place. And if at the end of the day, even if you're having talmidim and so on and so forth, there are times that I said a gishmak Dvar Torah. And after Matzoy Shabbos, maybe the Talmud said, Rebbe, I enjoyed the Dvar Torah. But the times that were most impactful in having talmidim over was when the Shabbos went well with the children. That, in terms of chinuch of being mechanic, talmidim and talmidos, that is so much more important and so much more powerful and so much more effective than even for chinuch ha-talmidim. Don't feel that you have to entertain or you have to compromise anything in terms of as far as your children are concerned. Yes.
So in terms of towards Shabbos, like you don't need to do emphasize a lot for young children, I understand. But in terms of like if it affects the house for your older kids, you have like a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, whatever, but you also have a 5-year-old or younger, but so they're turning on radios or they're turning lights on and off, or like playing with their piano, and there's now like noise in the house, or it's a not Shabbistic environment for your kids who are older.
Right. So let me take a step back just in terms of talking about the halacha. There is a big machlokes, I always like to say that the biggest machlokes between Chassidus and Misnagdus is not Nefesh HaChayim and so on and so forth, is a machlokes that's connected to what a parent is allowed to have their children do in terms of halacha on Shabbos. The Ger Chassidim, based on the Kedusharim, were quite makel. It's actually Kedusharim's Yartzeit today, prior to sunset. And the Achiezer, based on Reb Chaim, was quite machmir. I don't know if we're going to get to it in Hilchos Shabbos. But L'kuleam, even Reb Chaim's strict disposition is only that the father is not allowed to encourage a child who's a ben das to do malacha. That's the furthest that it goes. The Chidush HaRim seems to be even more makel. So nafkamina, for example, will be: Are you allowed to take a child even prior to ben das? They argue. If you're allowed to take a child who's, let's say, 2 years old and bring them to the light and have them turn on the light, according to Reb Chaim, one is not allowed to do. However, l'kulei alma, there's no halachic problem that malacha is being done, as you alluded to. Now, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen if a child that's 5 years old does a malacha? If they turn on the radio, the problem with them turning on the radio shouldn't be Shabbos. Well, them turning on the radio is that it's disturbing other people. That on Shabbos, when we sit around, we don't have the radio on. Not because that you're violating Shabbos, but rather on Shabbos, there's a certain protocol that we have. Not the Torah's halacha, but there's a certain way that the house functions. Now, I mentioned in the past why I think sports is so helpful often for children. Sports teaches children the idea that rules are not there to burden us. The rules are there a way for something to function, to make things function. So therefore, a soccer game is not going to be able to function if there isn't out of bounds and if there isn't a goal and where the goal is, etc., etc. Same thing in regards to the child. So I don't think that there is any issue except for an issue, not a halachic issue of Shabbos Day, but rather the issue of this is what we, this is a avirah that we try to create. Rav Yossi, does that cover as far as the mitzvot asay? Is there anything? Okay. Okay, let's go to another question that was asked. How much is it reasonable to expect yourselves as parents to supplement at home versus what the child is getting at school? Everybody follow the question? Let's say there's a school that teaches certain values and they don't teach others. Or at home, what if you emphasize certain values? Could you expect the school to supplement them? The yisod, as far as chinuch at the home and chinuch in the school, works as follows. The yisod should be that everybody should be complementing the other. It's not always possible, but that's the way it should work. That at the end of the day, the values that the children are hearing at home should be values that are consistent at school. And the reason for that is that at the end of the day, you are the most important mechanchim in your children's lives. Again, I say that again. You are the most important mechanchim in your children's lives. Never, ever surrender the role of being the most important mechanic in your child's life until they get married. Not until high school, not until they go to yeshiva, until they get married. You are the most important mechanic in their lives. Now, chinuch, as we've mentioned, is generally done through modeling. It's not done through preaching. But at the end of the day, you are the most important mechanic. What happens when there is a conflict? So, for example, we just had it. It's happened just this week. My 10-year-old came home from school, and he said to me, "Abba," my wife and I have struggled with this over the years, and we struggled with this as children. Both my wife and I, our families come from Poland. When we were kids, and to this day in my children's school as well, the Shulchan Aruch that's given to kids is Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Ati Lekachlan, my wife told me she thought when she was little that Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was an abridged version of the Shulchan Aruch itself. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was written by a tremendous Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik Rav Shlomo Gansfried. It was written in Hungary. And the Minhagim, a lot of the Minhagim there in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch are Minhagim that were unique to Hungary. There's certain chumras that are there, and so on and so forth. So my son just came home this week, and he said, "Abba, we learned X, Y, and Z in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Why don't we do that?" So I took his question very seriously. Now you have to be very, very careful. We don't want to. This is a very sensitive juncture. "Abba, why is it that in the school they don't say Hallel Yom Ha'atzmaut, and you say Hallel Yom Ha'atzmaut?" That's a very, very sensitive question. I'm going to go the other direction as well. Sometimes the instinctive reaction of parents is one which is defensive. And that you have to stay away from. If you think about in both in Yonah Shalom Bayis and Chinuch, a lot of times our reaction is when someone accuses us of doing something wrong is to become defensive. Usually your spouse didn't mean to accuse you, it's how you hurt. Usually my son didn't mean to accuse me. He didn't mean to accuse me. He meant to ask. Maybe he wanted me to follow the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and he didn't want to do what I had suggested. But at the end of the day, he really wants to know. There's nothing accusative about it. So I'll tell you what I did. I said, Shlomo Zalman, I hear. I explained to him a little bit about the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And I said, let's call your grandfather in America and ask him what our custom is. And we took it very seriously. We made a phone call, had a conversation. What exactly is our family's custom? So what's happened now is that we've said, okay, there's the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, there's school. Ultimately, the family custom trumps. But at the end of the day, we took it really seriously. What was said in school, we took really, really, really seriously. We weren't chaskel mevatel the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We took it seriously. So then, what your child has also learned is something very, very beautiful, and that is that there are going to be different shitos in halacha, and sometimes we're going to be machriya one way or the other, and give that shita hachra. So, how much is it reasonable to expect yourselves as parents to supplement at home versus what the kid is getting at school? It depends on what the supplementing is doing. If in school they're hearing something that is antithetical to what you're teaching at home, or in home you're saying something that's antithetical to school, then there's going to be a real challenge. By the way, the odds are that those of you who are going to settle in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have some of that. Both culturally, as well as because things tend to be more polarized in Eretz Yisrael, people tend to be very, very absolute. We could discuss, after the recording ends, we could discuss privately. I don't want to give particular halacha l'maaseh examples of that because of many different reasons. It's better to discuss privately. But at the end of the day, there are going to be times that you're going to face a challenge. In which in school there's going to be one message that's going to be a little bit different at home. Do your best to try to find the school where things are as matim as possible. Whenever you feel that there's mamish a clash, be so careful. If there's one thing to come away from tonight, one detail to come away with, this is extremely, extremely, extremely important. The yisod, of course, is Revolvi's yisodos. But as a detail, if there's one yisod to come away from tonight, it's that be so careful not to create a situation where the school seems to be pulling your child in one direction and you're pulling your child in a different direction. And therefore your decision of school might actually be affected based on that. I'll give you a halacha maaseh example of that. Academically, you love school X. Academically, it's the right place. But at the end of the day, you know that there are certain things, either from the teachers or from the chevra, that you feel that you're going to be pulling in different directions. In such a case, the best thing to do is not necessarily to compromise on the academics and go for something that's more holistic. Because academics is secondary for your child feeling secure and comfortable. I see all these high schoolers sending so much for tests and so on and so forth. 10 years later, is it really important what you got on your regents? Is it really, really that important? Yeah, you need to get, there's eventually, you need a certain bar to get into a certain college, to get into a certain graduate school and so on. But as your life keeps on going, it goes on, those scores are really, really not very important. It's a hiki kinsa for another stage in life. So the academics is really using that as one type of barometer of academics. Academics is what's much more important is for a child to feel holistic and safe emotionally and not being torn in two different directions. But yes, you can supplement. So, for example, let's choose it in both directions. Zionism l'chumra, Zionism l'kula. That's a common theme. The Hainu, let's say you send your children to a Haredi school, and you feel that there isn't enough of an emphasis on love for Eretz Yisrael. That's something that you could supplement. At times where the school becomes so anti, and you're giving an opposite message, then there's going to be a clash. But yes, you can supplement things. You have to choose what are your ikarim that are important that you want for sure that they get from the school, and what are the things that you want to supplement. And vice versa. You could send to a school which is more modern and Zionistic, and you can also supplement as well with other things. Although, with one caveat, and that's a caveat we've said in the past, you can't expect your children to be quote-unquote frumer than the average kid that's in their class. In other words, if all the kids have, or a significant amount of kids have iPhones, you can't expect your children not to have it. So even though in some ways that might be ideal, there are things you're going to have to choose, you're going to have to prioritize what are the things that are going to be important and which things are going to be let so. One last question, and then I have over here, and if there's anything else that we want to discuss before we wrap up this amount of learning. The last question was, setting limits versus giving in, what's the balance? I'm going to say something very strong and then explain what I mean. There's no such thing as giving in. I sound like a stubborn person. That's not at all what I mean. If we're doing things right, and sometimes we do and sometimes we don't, we've spoken in the past to be mechazek that we're not always going to be perfect, and your children will think that you've done an awesome job if you were good 80-90% of the time. If you were good 30% of the time, they're going to think you're the most abusive people ever. But if you do a good job 80-90% of the time, then your children will feel it. We spoke about in the past that the rules that we set at home, those rules we have to carry through, we have to follow through with them. In other words, if we say that there is no, that you can't walk out, let's say apartment, you can't walk out the front door, so then there needs to be a healthy and appropriate consequence the child doesn't follow. Now I'm talking about when the child is at that cognitive space and place. We're not talking about a child that doesn't understand. If you're not sure if they understand the rule, then don't give the rule. Suffolk always goes l'chumra. But once you have the rule, then you should do your best to follow through. Now, you don't have to follow through with a sledgehammer. It doesn't have to be done in a heavy, heavy way. But those things, those klalim that we have to do our best to. So at the end of the day, look back at the Lashon, listen again to the Lashon of these great questions. The question was setting limits versus giving in the balance. You know, the answer is that you never give in. But that means that before you set a rule, you have to be clear, you and your wife have to decide whether you really want that rule. Now, there's a difference between saying, honey, please don't go outside, and then your child goes outside. That's called not listening. There's another thing when you have a rule, that we don't go outside. That we don't do this. We don't open Avanima's door unless we knock. There could be a rule, or there could be a request. Those are two different things. A child that doesn't listen to a request that's 4 or 5 years old, okay. So that's one thing. There's a rule, so then there needs to be a follow-up. There's no such thing as giving in. One of the things that's difficult for us once we set rules is actually following up when the children don't follow the rules, because we're too busy to follow up. So that's why choose your spots carefully. Be mechanech less, model more, but when you do chinuch, then do it adasof. When you do chinuch, then try to do your best to to be consistent. Now, again, it's I could hear my wife saying in a very friendly and loving way, saying to me, Chaim, it's very, very easy for you to say sitting over there in that chair. And when I'm at home most of the time with the kids, I recognize that. It's an armchair quarterback. But at the end of the day, I think that that's something husbands and wives should discuss. You know, what exactly are going to be the rules. And sometimes hold back from the rule if you feel like you guys are not ready yet to follow through. And that's l'shita seinu, that the most important chinuch is not the rules. Everything comes full circle. Most important chinuch is not the rules. What's the most important chinuch? The zriya, it's not the binyan. Rules are binyan. Rules aren't zriya. What's the most important? It's the halacha, it's the halicha. You know, when, I think there's a new chapter for halachic man. Some age you never dream that, you know, we would need to discuss. It's very interesting. And Mickey's here with his father. The first time, it's about 8 or 9 years ago, I just started teaching in Gruss. When I started in Gruss, I was here only Thursday afternoons. I was still teaching at Devarim. So I started first giving a halacha shir from 5:45 to 6:45, and then I gave a shmuz and chinuch habanim and shalom bayis. And the first time I was doing shalom bayis, there were two fathers that came in. Actually, there was a father and father-in-law. One fellow brought his father and his father-in-law. That in itself was entertaining, because that week I had decided that I wanted them to do exercises together. It wasn't couples, it was just the guys in the kol. And I had the father and father-in-law do that exercise together. That was a lot of fun. And afterwards, they came over to me. They're now Bli Einar, must be now in their 70s. And they said, this was Shalom Bayis, and they said to me, no one's gave classes in Shalom Bayis. That wasn't something. You got married, and you learned on the job. It was unheard of. It was like, I remember when I discussed with Ruth Miller that idea. It was like a novel idea to have Shalom Bayis for parents. I had a family member that told my wife, when my wife said that she was going for a class in Chinuch, taking a parenting class. I had a family member that said, you need to take a parenting class? You need a parenting class? Like, it was once upon a time, it was like a sign of weakness that you needed to take a parenting class. It's amazing how things have changed. And it's also a reflection of many different things. We could explain it in very, very different ways. But halachic man, a new chapter to halachic man. A new chapter to halachic man is parenting. But parenting is part of being an ish halacha. Parenting is about that halicha. It's not about that binyan. But parenting is about the zriya of how we go. That's the most important part. Yeah, there was a question. Someone had a hand before. Okay. Very good. We should have siyata d'shmaya. The last thing that Rav Volbi emphasizes on page Lamed Dalet is chovas hatfila. And he says in the third paragraph, the Torah, lo motziim din shakohen gadol tzarech lispalo, lo motziim tefila kizu b'seder atfila shakohen gadol b'yom ha-kipurim, aval le'inyin zeh bora muvar me'elav, that what? That the Kohen is held accountable, that the Gemara Makos tells us, that the Kohen was held accountable that he didn't daven for those motzkim b'shogeh. And he says, It's a given that if you care that the Kohen Gadol represents all of Klal Yisrael, that if you care about Klal Yisrael, then you daven for them. So Rav Volbi says that at the end of the day, through all of our hishtadlus, the most important thing that we could give our children is our tefillah, that they should have siyata d'shmaya. So I'm mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the hishtadlus that we did together should be one in which all of our children are able to grow from. That we're able to help them grow and thrive b'zriya u'b'binyan, and b'ezra Hashem, one day that they'll be taking parenting classes for their children, the siyata d'shmaya, and be able to mamshich for the next door.
Yeah. If anybody wants to stick around for questions, I have time. I have my car here tonight, so I don't have to trudge through the rain. Go ahead.
By using that, set a rule, because let's say one time.